So I'm Keegan Rogers. I'm the head baker and pastry chef at the People's Food Co-op. I've been there for 5 years, and you know, right over in Carytown. Come on down. And of course, it's Thanksgiving in 2 weeks. Can you believe it already? 2 weeks. I can't really honestly believe it's 2 weeks. And this is, we're going to go over the difference between pies and tarts, and then a couple of the things about pies and tarts, and then we're going to make pie dough. I'm going to show you how to make pie dough. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, where's this recipe been all my life? I can't believe how simple it really is to make pie dough. And then you're going to go home with that pie dough. What could be better, right? And that way you have some pie dough to make for Thanksgiving. So a little bit about me. I've been baking for longer than I realized until my birthday. I've been doing this for 30 years. So I started at Zender's up in Frankenmuth. Well, I really started at my grandma's knee, which that's really how most people start baking, is at home next to a loved one in the family. Making my favorite thing in the world, chocolate chip cookies, and then pie. And then after Zender's, I moved to Memphis and was the pastry chef at a couple of small places, a Holiday Inn. I worked at the Peabody Hotel, if anyone's familiar with the hotel in Memphis where the ducks go down the, yeah, that's that. It was fun for the first few times, and then it's like, okay, they're ducks. And then I came back to Michigan. I graduated from School Crafts Culinary Program, and I've been, at the co-op for 5 years. I also teach baking and pastry classes at WCC in their Culinary Arts Program. And I also teach pastry classes on the weekend at Sur La Table over on Washtenaw. So if you see a class over there with my name on it, it's me. So as you know, at the co-op, we specialize in gluten-free vegan baking. So this is not gluten-free or vegan. I just want to point that out from the beginning. This is full fat, full gluten, full flavor. And then you'll go home with the recipe and a couple others to take home. My favorite pie, which is lemon meringue. I mean, right? Lemon meringue. It's so good.
Key lime
is very good. But it's, for me, lemon meringue. There's something about a lemon meringue pie that just reminds me of summer and all things good in the world. So let's just dive right into pies. So there's a big difference between pies and tarts. The dough is different. What you bake it in is different. The fillings are different. The toppings are different. And then there's this thing called a galette. It's not a galette, but a galette, and it's a French pie, and I'll get to that in a second. And that's pretty much what we're going to go over, is the differences, the crust, the fillings, the toppings, and then what the heck is a galette. So first, the difference is the pan. You'll notice that with pies, the pie tins have a scalloped edge, so it's wedged out, where a tart pan has straight edges. Now, the straight edges could be fluted, and you'll see on this how it's got the ridges around it. That might not be a really good picture, but you can kind of see how the edges are fluted. Or straight, they could be completely straight, and they typically have a false bottom that comes up. Whereas pie tins, it's a solid tin, or ceramic, or glass. But the edges are always at an angle. Whether it's an 8-inch, a 9-inch, or a pot pie, they're always at an angle. Some of the older fashioned ones have the big scallops on the edges. Those are for really great presentations, like for Thanksgiving for your family. I mean, they're used for so many other things besides just making pie, but I prefer using those personally. But that's one of the main differences between a pie and a tart is the pan. The next difference is the shell, what you're gonna fill and put in the pan. So there's pie dough, which we're gonna make tonight. There's tart dough, which is typically sweet, or called a pâté sucré, the French version. Graham cracker crust, of course, for, you know, like a no-bake peanut butter pie. Nuts or coconut. I have done a key lime pie with a coconut crust. Oh, love coconut.
Yeah.
Gluten-free. And then blind baking. Do you know what blind baking means? Do you know what that term means? So let's say you're making lemon meringue pie. Yeah, Lemon meringue pie. I'm trying to think of all the different pie flavors you'd make that you need a blind bake shell. So a blind baking shell means you're going to bake the shell completely all the way through without a filling. And then fill it with something else that doesn't need to be baked after it's full, after it's baked. So think strawberry cream. Think a chiffon pie. Think chocolate pudding pie. Think a mousse pie. Anything that you don't need to bake the filling on, you would need a blind baked shell. And this is where I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant. And this is why I like the pie tins. When you blind bake a shell, you've seen maybe in grocery stores or heard in recipes where you take the pie dough, fill it in your tin, and then put beans in it, and then blind bake that. Well, then you gotta pick out all the beans because they stick to the dough. The easiest way to blind bake a shell that will never fail and always works is you take your pie tin and you put your dough in it. Then you take another pie tin, because they're usually two for a dollar at the dollar store, right? How economical is that? And you put some either pan spray or some lightly oil it and put it, sandwich your dough between the two pie tins. Flip it upside down, put another pan on it and bake it like that, upside down. That will retain the shape because it's, you know, gravity is working for us at that point. And we'll keep the sides of the pie exact the way you need to and not slump down in the middle. And you won't have to draw to get the beans and kind of pick them out of the pie shell at the bottom, because that's no fun. Then you've got little dimples all over the pie. And I forgot to bring a pie tin to show you, but basically that's it. You sandwich the dough between two pie tins, flip it upside down, put something to weigh it down, and then bake that all the way through. And when you can take your thumb and flick the pie tin off the dough, it's done. See, it's just kind of with your thumb gently, carefully, because it is hot. Don't burn yourself. You got a really nice pie shell. Pull it out, let it cool completely, and then fill it with whatever your little heart desires. Lemon meringue, chocolate, strawberry, all kinds of chiffon, mousses, anything you can think of. And if you're making quiche, we talked about quiche, you want to par bake your shell. So you do the same thing, but don't bake it all the way through. Like 15 minutes. If you don't bake it all the way through, I'm sorry, if you don't par bake your shell before you make your quiche, when you put it in to bake, the eggs will come together and pull from the side, so you'll have a gap about maybe half an inch all the way around the shell where the eggs came together and pulled apart from the shell. So if you par bake it, that will set the shell in place and it won't happen. You'll have a nice, even, smooth quiche. Any questions on the shell? Or I think I gave you, I'm trying to remember if there was a recipe for a pâté sucré in your packet or not. But today is all about pies.
If you make shepherd's pie, do you make a crust for that?
For the bottom, yes.
For the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, for the bottom. And then the top is mashed potatoes.
Yeah, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, which is yummy. The filling. So here's the difference between pies and tarts. Pies are generally fruit, custard, mousse, cream, strawberry cream, no-bake filling like a no-bake peanut butter, and not always baked to finish like lemon meringue or strawberry cream. You don't finish those off to bake. But with a tart, it could be savory, goat cheese, vegetable, and they are always baked to finish. You have to bake it to finish it off. Whether it's a savory one, whether it's an almond pear tart, like you have some frangipane with some pears, some poached pears, you have to bake that all the way through before you can eat it. With a pie, you don't have to do that. Again, lemon meringue, you wouldn't bake that. You'd make your curd and fill it and whipped cream or meringue. You don't finish that off. You don't bake that to finish it. It is finished. But that's the main difference in fillings between a pie and a tart. Goat cheese, oh my gosh. Goat cheese tarts are the bomb. They're so good. I just like goat cheese. I like food. I'll just throw that out there. Next, we have the toppings. pies are topped, tarts aren't. Pies don't have to be topped, but they can be, but tarts aren't. Tarts are just flat, whatever the savory filling is, or whatever the fruit filling is, or whatever the almond pear filling is, there's no topping on it. But with a pie, there's lattice, there's crumb, there's another pie crust, or there's open. Think pumpkin or pecan pie. Those are open-faced pies. But think like a cherry pie with a lattice topping on it, or an apple pie with a crumb topping on it. Pies are generally topped. Tarts are not. Of course, meringue, or when I was a kid, meringue, because it's fun to say, meringue. And then whipped cream. And there's all kinds of different toppings, and like whipped cream with vanilla, or a Swiss meringue, or an Italian meringue, or an American meringue that you would then toast a little bit on top of your lemon meringue, because you want to get those egg whites heated up. Crumb topping is very simple. I think there's a crumb topping in your packet too, in your recipes. Yeah. I don't remember exactly, but yeah. And it's butter, sugar, flour. Yum. Three of the four basic food groups, in my opinion. The fourth being chocolate. All right, a galette. So a galette is a rustic, open-faced, free-form pie without a tin. So you take your pie dough and you roll it out, and you have, let's say, cranberry walnut with raisin and orange. You kind of simmer that together on your stove, plunk that in the middle, fold the sides up around the middle filling, bake it. That's a galette. You could do goat cheese with mushrooms and scallions. Yum. You could, whatever you do in a pie or a tart, you could do as a galette. But it does have to be baked and finished to bake the pie dough. You can use pie dough. Puff pastry is also another way to go with that. And puff pastry you can buy, don't make it. It's very labor intensive, and unless you have a $3,000 dough sheeter in your home that's probably as long as that set of tables, just buy it from the grocery store. They're pretty good quality, and they're really good because it's puff pastry. So you can use either the pie dough or the puff pastry for a galette. Pie dough is basically four ingredients: flour, butter, water, vinegar. That's it. Now, the ingredients we're going to go through tonight, the butter, I know this is going to rock your little world, room temperature. Do not use cold butter. Don't do it. I don't know how that started, but people have been trying to push this cold butter thing, that the butter has to be ice cold and the water has to be ice cold. No. Think about when pies were becoming very popular in the U.S. It was like 18 something, right? When was refrigeration invented? Like 1935. So there was a 100-year period where people were making pies without refrigeration. How did they do it? Well, I'm going to show you. So they use room temperature butter or lard. Yum. I'm just going to throw it out there. I know most people have an issue with lard. I don't. Love it. And because they're both fats, a 50-50 mix, so like we're using 8 ounces of butter, you could use 4 ounces of butter and 4 ounces of lard. Lard makes the best pie dough. Makes the best biscuits, the best scones, the best pie, all of it's the best. It's just there's nothing more divine than swine, in my opinion. But I get that people have, butter. You can use margarine. It's not going to be the same because it's a vegetable fat versus an animal fat. And the protein bonds and the fat bonds are different in those fats. So it will be different, but you can still do it. The other thing is all-purpose flour. Now, I've tried to do this by weight and it never works for me, and I don't know why. I've not figured this part out. So I measure with a cup, of course. So I'm going to show you how I measure. In the recipe you have, we're going to do half the recipe than what's on your sheet. So that's a full batch. We're going to do a half a batch. Now, some recipes say to sift the flour over into the cup to get your measurement. I don't have time for that. Do you? Yeah, it's just, it's not necessary. So what you want to do, and again, just come around if you need to see, kind of fluff it up a little bit, and then shake it off so it's a nice level, I don't know if you can see, nice level scoop. So since this is a half a batch, we're going to need 2.5 cups. 2 and then 1/2 cup. Just in like that. So the other thing we need is salt. Salt makes everything better. Salt actually enhances the flavor of sweet. Just like acid enhances the flavor of sweet. So they go hand in hand. You don't want a lot of salt, of course, but a little salt. In this recipe, it calls for 1 tablespoon or 1/2 tablespoon. So we're just gonna go with 1/2 of that, which is, so 1/2 tablespoon is 1.5 teaspoons. So 1/2 of 1.5 teaspoons is 3/4 teaspoon. So, and again, same basic thing, just, you know, even level it off. And that's all the salt we need. And then just mix it with your fingers. The other thing we have is water. Room temperature, water, and then vinegar. So today I grabbed from the kitchen just apple cider vinegar. It's fine, it works. White vinegar is fine, either one is fine. They're pretty interchangeable, mild flavors. I would not use a balsamic vinegar. Wouldn't be very tasty. Yeah, it would change the color, it would just, don't do it. And again, it calls for 1 tablespoon, so we're gonna do 1/2 of that, which is 1.5 teaspoons. And you want to put the vinegar in the water before you start. And it will become clear in a minute why. All right, and we're done with this. And we'll move the vinegar out of the way. All right, set that to the side. And here we have butter. Now, this is actually a little too cool. It's still relatively soft. I can squish it. And actually, I'm going to do that. I'm going to squish it a little bit just to get it soft enough to do what I need it to do. But if you leave your butter out on your counter overnight, it should be squishy enough. You want it kind of squishy. And I know I'm kind of making a mess, and that's part of why I like pie dough, because I like playing with my food. And we're just going to dump it in, just like that. And then what we're gonna do is what's called the frisage method. It's like a massage, but with a fra in front of it. And we're gonna start, we're gonna come up from the bottom and take the butter and the flour and do this. And you'll see, kind of like I'm fanning money with my fingers. And then keep turning the bowl. Trying to keep all the flour in the bowl. It is. And I just want to keep doing this. Breaking up those pieces of butter. Because what I'm doing at this point is I'm encapsulating the flour in butter. And that's what's going to give us our flakes. And this same process could be used to make the crumb that we talked about earlier. You could also use it to make scones. You could use it to make butter, buttermilk biscuits. And you just keep doing this. And I have to remind myself to keep my shoulders down and not do this. I usually end up doing this. And when I make this at the co-op, the bowl is about 6 times larger. And it's like 30 cups of flour and 6 pounds of butter. And it's a lot more. It's a workout. And you just keep doing this. But notice I'm coming up. I'm not doing it down like this. I'm coming up with it and keeping it so that I'm not letting too much of the heat from my hands melt the butter. I don't want that. And when you get most of the butter pieces kind of smallish, there's not too many of them, then you'll start to rub it. Then you'll just rub it together. And just keep turning the bowl, again, keeping your shoulders down, because then your shoulders will hurt. And you just want those big pieces of butter to be gone. And you're creating, because in a lot of pie dough recipes, you'll see where it says to use the pastry fork or pastry blade until it looks or resembles cornmeal. Have you seen that? Have you heard that? This is doing that for you. And see how kind of fluffy it is? This is exactly what we want. So if I could ask you to do me a really big favor, dump that whole glass of water in there. Just dump it. Perfect. Way to go. That, have you seen that sprinkle, 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 sprinkle water, sprinkle? Don't do that either. That's nonsense. You're going to overwork the gluten doing that. So what we're going to do now is, now that we've dumped all that water in, because it's got the acid from the vinegar, we want to mix in all that water. So come around and just push. Move it around and just push. And you're going to get stuff all over your hands. That's okay. You're supposed to. Keep pushing, and you'll see all the dry will start to stick together. This is okay. It really is. Just keep pushing gently. Because when you add water to flour, you're creating more gluten. And when it comes together pretty solid like this, kind of get up all the pieces. And when it's solid and you can't see in the bowl anymore, pull it out of the bowl and we're going to start kneading it. Now there's no, leave your hand just like it is. Don't try and scrape it off. It will come together and be one with the rest of the pie dough. It's very zen. And just gently fold it over. And notice how there's like stuff on the table. When you don't see any more stuff on the table or any more stuff on your hands, it's done.
Is this enough for a single pie?
This one is.
Or is this a double pie?
Because this is half. But the recipe you have in your packet is enough for either two bottoms or a bottom and a top. Just keep folding it together.
And you haven't floured your board at all?
Nope. Kind of grab all these bits and pieces off.
Do you have any trouble doing this all on parchment paper to sort of save the countertop?
You won't need to. But
what if you wanted to? Would it hurt anything?
You'd have more trouble trying to keep it on the parchment.
Okay.
And notice now it's really starting to come together and looking like pie dough. We're almost there. Kind of roll around and grab any flour that fell out of your bowl. And then all of a sudden, see how it's coming off my hands now too? It will be done and you'll have pie dough. See how the stuff that was sticking to the table is now not sticking to the table? Because it's in here. And we're done. It's pie dough. It does need to rest and refrigerate for about 30 minutes before you do anything with it. So before you start to roll it out, wrap it up and refrigerate it. So put it in a bowl, in a ball, flatten it into a disc, and wrap it in plastic wrap. 30 minutes. Bring it out, and it's gonna get fairly firm because of the butter. So don't let it get back quite to room temperature, but still a little firm, and start rolling it out. And then you would use a little bit of flour. Not a lot of flour, but a little bit. Because if you add flour at this point, it's not encapsulated in fat anymore, and it will toughen the dough. Because that's what makes dough tough, is flour that's not been treated somehow. Roll it out to whatever size you need, and then use it and cut it. Now, if you trim, like you're making something and you trim the edges, the trimmings that come off the edge, you cannot reuse. Just bring together and make something else with it. You're gonna overwork the gluten and it will be really tough. You know, if you've got those extra ones, roll them in some cinnamon sugar and then bake those. Those are pretty tasty treats. But that's pie dough. Go ahead and pick up the butter. And get it kind of fluff it up.
Thank you.
And then shake it so that it's a nice level scoop. Just like that. So you need 2.5 cups. And then I'm coming around and I'm gonna add some vinegar.
A dash.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
No.
You just need a little bit of acid. Now, some people have said to use vodka instead of vinegar. But if I'm gonna bake with vodka, I'm just gonna drink it. I mean, why, it's vodka.
If you were making scones, would you mix it that much for scones as well?
Yeah, before you add whatever your egg liquid measure is.
Uh-huh.
Usually scones are cream, like a heavy cream or a half and half.
Yeah, in the dough. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so you do that part first and then add the cream at the end, just like the pie dough, but instead of water, the cream.
Okay, the cream. Okay.
Yeah, because the cream has extra fat and extra flavor,
right.
And the milk solids in there will pull it all together and get it a nice.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a whole lot, because it's basically biscuit dough with sweet and some fillings.
Okay, so you could make basically this, but use cream and put a little bit of sweetness in it, a little syrup. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just dump the water in. Keep going, you're almost there.
Yes?
Yeah, keep going.
Thanks.
You're close. You did that water so expertly, I have no...
Wow.
You've done this before, haven't you?
Maybe once.
Listen to
you.
Yep. All right, so as you're working your pie dough and we've got the bags coming around, once you've got it in your bag, it can refrigerate for a couple of weeks. It wouldn't last that long in my house. But the other thing you could do is you can freeze it. So this freezes really, really well. So portion it to whatever size you want. So again, this is 2 bottoms or a bottom and a top. If you want 2 bottoms or, 2 pieces out of this, separate them, freeze them individually, and then when you need one, pull it out, let it into the refrigerator overnight, and then from there to the counter, about 20 minutes to start rolling it and then using it for whatever you need it for. But yeah, it freezes for up to 6 months.
Ta-da! What do you think?
Looks great.
Really?
What do you think?
Looks great.
Looks like pie dough to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, I think we're done. How'd I do on time?
You did great.
Was it a 7 to 8:30 or was it a 7 to 9?
7 to 8:30.
Oh,
what time is it?
8:30.
Look at you, you're on the ball, man.
Awesome sauce.